Exodus chapter 19, verse 20. It says, the Lord came down on top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. I'm going to read that one more time where you can dig into a couple of weeks on this idea of called to climb. Called, everybody say called to climb. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time and this moment together to come together around your word. Lord, I pray that right now, these next moments that we have together, that your word will speak powerfully, that your voice would thunder deeply inside of our souls, inside of our hearts, inside of our spirit. I pray, God, that we would hear exactly what you're saying and exactly what you are calling each and every one of us to do in our own steps, in our own way, in our own walk with you, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, I was thinking something that kind of I laugh at once in a while, and I know that we all are here. Many of us are here. Can I get a couple of the house lights on the side on just so I can see everybody's lovely New Year's faces? That'd be awesome. Thank you so much. Some of you may not think this, but we all come from different walks of faith. We all come from different church backgrounds, denominational backgrounds. And I always kind of chuckle a little bit because this may surprise you. This may not surprise some of you. Some of you right now this morning, you're like, man, what kind of church is this? Man, we got people jumping up and down, and it's a little loud. We got electric guitars. There's a weird track going on. What's happening here? Are we in a disco? But so this may surprise you. Some people think that we are a wild church, that we're like crazy, wild, spirit-filled Pentecostal. And I kind of chuckle sometimes because, to be quite honest with you, from the background that I came out of, we are relatively tame compared to most, because I come from an old school Pentecostal, well, not necessarily old school, but pretty wild, charismatic, word of faith, spirit filled, Holy Ghost thrown down every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you was in church. That's the kind of background I come from. Amen. So anybody else come from that kind of background? Amen. I mean, you remember, because back in the day, Sunday morning was kind of a little bit of the buttoned up services where you wore your, but Sunday night was that throw down Holy Ghost service where you weren't leaving until everybody was in the altar crying, weeping, falling out in the spirit, and all that. Come on, someone. How many raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? That's okay. We're all serving Jesus. We all come from different, we all have different encounters, different experiences. I'm just saying that's what I mean, fire tunnels. How many know what a fire tunnel is, okay? Let me explain what a fire tunnel is. A fire tunnel is when everybody, all the saints would line up facing each other, and if you needed prayer, you'd walk through the fire of the Holy Spirit through the tunnel of people that were fire-filled, baptized, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking believers, and you'd walk through that, and you'd get everybody, he'd have like 47 people lay hands on you. I don't think we can do that in the era of COVID. I'm not sure if that's cool to do, I guess. I don't know. We'd have to really like sanitize between each one or whatever, but that's what I come about. So I come that wild, kind of crazy background, and in some of that background, one of the probably first earliest scriptures I remember is old Mark chapter 11, when Jesus said that if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and command that mountain to move, cast itself into the sea. How many have heard that story? How many have heard that text before? And man, I don't know about you, but I got a hold of that. I said, man, Jesus said I could speak to mountains, and that background tells me that, man, any obstacle, any mountain that comes in front of my life, anything that is in the way of where I suppose God has called me to go, I can speak to that mountain and call that mountain to get out of my way. Hallelujah, glory to God, and all that. Amen, somebody? Okay? Now, and I believe all that. I think all of that is true. Jesus promised that. He's given us that ability. He's given us the word of God to speak over our mountains, over our situations. But here's as I get a little older and follow Jesus a little more, this is what I'm learning in my life. Listen, it's this. Listen to me. Every mountain that is in my way isn't there to move. Just because Jesus said that through faith I can speak to the mountain and it will be moved doesn't mean that every mountain that shows up in my path is there for me to speak to and to move. Amen, somebody? And I've got to ask myself this question. Listen, what happens if I am speaking to a mountain and commanding a mountain to move that God has called me to climb? Amen? See, here's what happens. We see this text. Now, the little background, this is very early on in the people of Israel and their journey. They have just, it's just been a couple of months since they fled from Egypt and they had the Red Sea experience. And the people of Israel, after 400 years of slavery, Moses has been sent by God and they get released from Pharaoh and they get released from Egyptian bondage. And here's the deal. Then the Bible says they come into this wilderness and they come to this mountain of Sinai. They come to this Mount Sinai, and it's in Exodus 19 is the story of God showing up in glory. The Bible says the glory of God, the thunder of God, God's raw presence from heaven takes up residence on the top of Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that God begins to speak to Moses. In fact, in the chapter, in the few verses after this, the next chapter, verse chapter 20, is where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. So it's this amazing encounter with God. And here's what we got to understand. Listen, mountains that don't move are the ones that God has called us to climb. Amen? Every mountain that I come across is not there for me to speak to and tell to move. There are some mountains that God has in my life. There are some mountains that God will lead me to. And if I speak to a mountain and it doesn't move, it's probably a mountain that God has called me to climb. Amen, somebody? And I can get real frustrated if I keep speaking to a mountain, telling it to move, and it refuses to move. I've got to then understand that that might be something that might be a mountaintop that God is calling me to climb. And at the top of that mountain, who knows what's there? At the top of that mountain might be my Ten Commandments. At the top of that mountain might be a greater revelation of who God is. Come on, somebody. But every mountain isn't there for me to move. Some mountains are there for me to climb. And I believe, this is just what I want to say to somebody. Listen, I believe right now, as we come into the beginning of a new year, what I sense in my heart for us as a church family, what I sense God is saying to us, Red Life Church, is that, listen, we are being called to climb to a greater place. We're being called to climb up a mountain and encounter God in a greater way than we ever have before in our lives. God is calling to some of you. God is calling to us from the top of the mountain saying, come on, climb this mountain. There's something up here I've got to show you. And here's what you need to understand. Listen to me. We need the mountain. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need the mountain. Turn to somebody else and say, you need the mountain. See, here's the deal. If you look at the history of the Exodus story, and you have to piece it together from some parts of Exodus, some parts of Numbers, some parts of Deuteronomy, because it's a lot of that is retelling some of the same time frame, just with different details and those stories in that time, that timeline overlaps, okay? But if you read the story and piece that together, what you discover is this, that the moment the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, God spoke to Moses and said, go, take the promised land, it's yours. And the Bible says that Moses listened to some of his advisors and elders and leaders, and they said, you know what, before we go, let's send some spies in the land. How many know this story? So the Bible says to Moses, that seemed like a good idea. Turns out it wasn't a good idea, because what happened, he sent 12 spies into the land. 10 of them came back, and they said, man, there are giants in the land. They said, it's an awesome land. Cana is an awesome place to go. There, he said, there are grapes. He said, there are clusters of grapes that it takes two men to carry on their shoulders. That's how great the harvest is. But he said, there are also giants in the land. And then you see this in the story when it's retold in Numbers. The spies came back, everybody except for Joshua and Caleb. But 10 of the 12 spies came back, and they put fear into the hearts of the people. And this is what they say in Numbers when they're giving their report. The Bible says the spies said, there are giants in the land. And he says, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes compared to the giants in the land that you're telling us to go. They said, basically, we can't do it. And that takes place days after the Red Sea experience, days after they fled from Egypt. So realizing that they were not going to obey, realizing that they were not going to go, God said, okay, we're going to spend some time in the wilderness. We're going to spend some time in the desert. We're going to spend some time in Mount Sinai, and you're going to get some tools to understand who I am and who the God is that has called you to go and take that promised land. Here's the thing. Without the wilderness encounter, without the mountain to climb, without the revelation and the experience of who God is on the mountain, without the wilderness, the Israelites were grasshoppers in their own eyes. Amen? So why would God call me to climb a mountain? It's because on top of the mountain, there's an encounter with God where I recognize and realize how great, how awesome, how powerful, how amazing he is. And in seeing who he is, I recognize what he has called me to do and what he has made me capable of. And when I come down the mountain, I'm no longer going to be a grasshopper in my eyes or anyone else's eyes. I'll be ready to go and take the promise that God has called me to go take. We need the mountain. Listen, between freedom from Egypt and taking the promise, there's an encounter in the wilderness. Let me talk about this word wilderness for a second. Because I don't know if you're like me, for a long time when I hear the word wilderness and desert, I think of the desert. We think of sand, we think of dry area, but here's the thing. That word wilderness, when it says God took them through the wilderness, that word in the Hebrew actually simply means unsettled territory. It doesn't necessarily refer to just the Sahara, sand, and no water. It just means places that no one has set up a settlement yet. Places where things are still wild, things that are still shaky, things, the places that aren't quite mapped out and ready to just be inhabited by man. Anybody felt any unsettling in the past few months? Anybody ever felt like you were in some unsettled areas and seasons of your life where you weren't sure exactly if this is where God had called you to plant your flag or if you were being moved on to something? Anybody experienced any of that? Well, guess what? If you're in a season where you are feeling unsettled, guess what? It might be time to start looking for a mountain to climb, because it's in an unsettled wilderness time where God will put a mountain in front of you, and instead of telling you to speak to the mountain and call it to move, God might just be saying, no, don't speak to this mountain. Climb this mountain. Come up to me on this mountain. Move up this mountain. I'm waiting for you on the top of this mountain, and I'm calling you to climb. And the faith to lay hold of the promise comes from the encounter in the wilderness. Without the encounter in the wilderness, I probably won't have the faith to trust God and believe God to get me into the promise. And this is a problem. This is a problem that many sons and daughters of God have, is that we sometimes are trying to lay hold of a promise that we see in Scripture without the accompanying encounter of the presence of God to let me have the faith to believe and actually lay hold of that promise. Amen? Because guess what? In the promised land, there are giants. And it's where God's called you to go, and it's what God has put before you to do. And yes, God has said, I've given you that land. But guess what? When God gives me that land, there are still giants I'm going to have to deal with. There are still battles I'm going to have to face. Even though I'm in the promise. The promise has enough battles and its own problems and its own things I've got to fight and its own enemies I've got to deal with and its own issues that I've got to figure out. But guess what? In fact, the enemies and the battle and the giants that often accompany the promise, they're so great that if I try to go in there half-cocked without a revelation of who God is in the wilderness, I'll never be able to actually lay hold of and keep the promise that God has for me. Amen? Between the freedom from Egypt and the laying hold of the promise, there's an encounter on top of a mountain in the unsettled land that's got to happen. And God wants you and me to have that kind of encounter. God is calling us to climb. Now, God calls Moses to climb the mountain. I love this, the way this is worded. It says, God calls Moses to the top of the mountain, period, end of sentence, And then it says, so Moses climbed the mountain. Now, this needs to be, it deserves a mention. You understand that Moses is in his 80s, near 90 years old, when God calls him to climb the mountain. In fact, if you read the story, you'll see that in his 80s and 90s, this whole story where Moses is leading the people of Israel, getting the Ten Commandments, setting up the law, setting up the tabernacle, setting up what would become the entire basis and foundation of the Jewish faith, which becomes the basis in Christ for our Christianity. Listen, Moses is going up and down this mountain dozens and dozens and dozens of times in his 80s and 90s. I mean, that's impressive. Amen, somebody? Some of you in your 40s and 50s struggle with a set of stairs, myself included. I wake up in the morning, every morning, and I feel like such a punk in the morning because I come out of my bedroom and I go down our stairs, and man, I've got to take half the stairs, you know, like 2 feet at a time. You know what I mean? Not like this. I got to go this step, and then this step. And then finally, I'm like, Justin, you are too young to be struggling this hard in the morning on steps, but I'm afraid I'm going to fall. Everything is achy. Moses is 80, 90 years old, climbing mountains up and down. This is a fit guy. But here's the thing. Do you think in his 80s and 90s, as Moses is climbing the mountain, do you think he ever got tired? Do you think his lungs ever began to burn because the oxygen was getting spent as he's climbing the mountain? Do you think his legs ever filled up with lactic acid and his thighs starts to burn as he's climbing up mountains? Come on, somebody. Do you think the rocks once in a while slipped out of under his feet and he might have got tripped up the other day? The other day, I came home yesterday, I had to do a funeral, and I was wearing dress shoes. And I like the little they're probably out of style now, but I got them like kind of pointy square-toed dress shoes. I was wearing those, and I was running upstairs to change when I got home, and I tripped going up the stairs. Nothing makes you feel cooler than when you trip going up the stairs. And when 285 pounds of Justin Bradley trips up the stairs, the whole house and the house next door hears it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a quiet situation. And I tripped going up the stairs, and I heard Luann go, "Are you okay?" And I just said, "My pointy-toed shoes got caught on the stairs, but yes, I'm fine." You think anything like that ever? I mean, he wasn't wearing pointy-toed shoes. I don't think. Maybe he was. Do you think he ever slipped once in a while going up and down the mountain? You think there were ever moments that he was sweaty and tired and thirsty and hungry, and he thought, man, if I got to climb this mountain one more time, I'm not doing it. I'm done. I quit. My lungs are burning. My thighs are burning. I don't feel like climbing this mountain today. You think climbing the mountain ever got hard? Of course it did. He was just a regular guy. But God called him to the mountain. And I say all that to say this, to understand. Listen, just because what God calls you to do gets hard doesn't mean you're any less called. Amen? Just because something God puts on your heart to do or tells you to do gets difficult doesn't mean you're not called. Let me say it this way. I'm still called when the climb gets hard. When the climb gets difficult, when my lungs are burning, when I don't think I can take another step, listen, I'm still called even in that moment. See, I think sometimes we think that just because God calls me to something, that means it's all going to be easy. Just because God calls me to something, that every day I'm going to feel this overwhelming sense of God's grace and God's presence. Now, if you've experienced that, or if you've walked out a calling and done something God's told you for any amount of time, you'll understand every day is not like that. Amen? There are going to be days when God calls you to climb a mountain, and it's going to be hard, and you're not going to hear God's voice, and you're not going to sense His presence, and you're not going to feel an overwhelming desire to climb the mountain. All you're going to have to go on is the call when God said, "Come up to me on this mountain." But just because the climb gets hard doesn't mean I'm still not called. I'm still called to climb the mountain, even when the climb gets hard. Calling doesn't make the difficulty disappear. Amen? but God has still called you to climb a mountain. Now, the mountain God's called you to climb may be different than the one God's called me to climb. The mountain God is telling you to climb may look differently and may have some different elevation points and some different difficulty levels or whatever else, but here's the thing. Listen, at the top of the mountain is God's presence. At the top of the mountain is God's voice. At the top of the mountain is the next thing that God has called you to. At the top of the mountain is the next revelation God has for you to know who He is. At the top of the mountain is the encounter that's going to empower you to take the promise that God has for you. Climb the mountain. Amen. So what do I got to do? I got to be ready to climb the mountain that God has called us to climb. And I'm telling you, family of God, listen, God has called us to climb. You have been called to climb. So let's get ready. How are we going to do that? Well, one part of we're going to do that is we're going to spend a week in prayer and fasting, making our hearts, making our spirits, making our minds ready to climb whatever spiritual mountains God has for us in this season. Amen? God calls, and because the call doesn't negate the difficulty of the climb, I've got to make myself and I've got to allow myself to be ready to climb. Moses, 80 or 90 years old, stayed ready to climb. I don't know if he did CrossFit. I don't know if he was a P90X guy. I don't know if he ate low carb. I don't know what his deal was, but at 80, 90 years old, he's climbing the mountains all day long. He was ready. We've got to be ready. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready to climb. Now, you read the story, if you read the whole chapter of Exodus, I don't have time to go into all the nuances of it, of this encounter, but let me just give you this little moment here. When you read the story, you'll find out, first of all, that in Exodus 19:6, when God first speaks to Moses about the mountain, he tells Moses, and in 3 days I'm going to come and I'm going to meet with you. Not just you, but he's actually talking about the entire nation. He says, I want to meet with the entire nation on the mountain. Tell everybody to be ready. And they consecrated themselves. They fasted, prayed for 3 days, and went through some stuff. We're going to get into that next week a little bit. But in Exodus 19:6, he says, because you are going to be to me a kingdom of priests. This is what he says about the whole nation, the whole people. God said, I want the whole nation of Israel to be a kingdom of priests. God's original intent was that everybody would encounter God in some way on the mountain, and that the entire people would be able to represent to the world who God was. That's what a priest does. A priest is someone that stands in between humanity and God and represents God to a group of people. And God's idea was that the entire nation would be a kingdom of representatives, of priests. You read the story, the Bible says God shows up, thunder, cloud, smoke, lightning, God's voice thundering on the mountainside. The Bible says Moses goes up first and comes back down to the people. And then the Bible says that the people told Moses, we are too afraid, too unholy, and too unworthy. They basically said, if we go up into that mountain, we're pretty sure we're going to die. So they, and a little bit later on, they say, Moses, we're happy for you to go to the mountain, come back down, and tell us what God said, because that looks a little intense up there. As it would. Amen. You understand, these are not just stories or allegories or metaphors. This really happened. I mean, imagine if I said to you, hey, guys, after church today, we're going to go over to the dam, and at the top of the dam, God's going to meet us there, and literally cloud and thunder and smoke and lightning and fire was flashing, and you heard all this crazy, wild stuff. I'd probably be afraid, too. I'd be like, I didn't read my Bible 1 or 2 days last week. I don't know if I'm ready for this. This is a natural reaction. It's the natural reaction of what happens when sinful people come into contact with the presence of an awesome, holy, and righteous God. Fear grips our hearts. Amen?
And some of you today might be thinking that of yourself. Well, surely you're not telling me that I'm called to climb this mountain because I'm not a very good person. I'm not a very holy person. I'm not even barely a church person. I don't even know what I'm doing here today. Somebody nagged me to death to be here. Somebody nagged me to death to watch online. I just said I'll do this one time to shut them up or whatever. And I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to climb the mountain. That's for somebody else. That's for somebody who reads their Bible every day. That's for somebody who doesn't get mad and cuss out people driving on the road. I mean, surely you're not talking about me because I am not ready to climb a mountain and encounter a holy, powerful, and awesome God. Well, here's the deal. Listen, if there's any fear that comes up in your heart when I say God has called us to climb, you say, man, that can't be me. I'm not ready for that. I want you to know something. Listen, the Old Testament is simply pointing to a new mountain that Jesus establishes in the New Testament. Every part of the Old Testament points to Jesus. Amen? And we see this in Hebrews chapter 12. We understand that that God is calling us in the New Testament to climb a different type of mountain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. I'm going to read about six verses here. Says, you have not come to a physical mountain, he's referencing Sinai, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. Verse 22 says, no, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. Verse 24, you have come to Jesus. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. I share all that to say, in the New Testament, because of Jesus, the mountain God has called us to climb is nothing that we have to fear. The mountain that God has called us to climb and encounter more of him, to know more of him, to hear his voice, is nothing that we have to be afraid of, because the blood of Jesus has been shed. The blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on the altar, and we can without fear come to that mountain and encounter God. So you do not have to be afraid to climb the mountain. Jesus made this available for everybody who was willing, for everybody who will say yes, for everybody who will say, I will climb, for everybody who has a heart to know God, the living God, we can do it, and we do not have to be afraid. So friend, don't you be afraid. Don't you be in terror. Don't you be worried, not for one second, to answer God's call to climb the mountain. Because Jesus has made the way for us to do that. Stand held over his place this morning. I believe some of you right now are hearing God's voice, sensing in your spirit. Maybe you've been sensing it for a long time. You've been Maybe for weeks or months now, even, you've been going, man, I know there's more to this. I know there's got to be more to this. I know there's more of God than I've experienced so far. I know God has more for me. And you don't know where that desire, or where that voice, or where that thought come from. Listen, I'm telling you right now, that comes from God. those desires, you say, man, I know there's more of God than I know right now. I know there's more of Him than I've encountered so far in my life. That is a desire that is put there by God. That desire is God's call, calling you to climb. Some of you right now, you've sensed that. But just in our time, man, we've been able to define that and show what that is. God's calling you to climb the mountain. God's calling you to climb the mountain. And all I have to say to that is this. Let's do it. Amen, somebody? Let's do it. Let's climb the mountain. Let's climb the mountain. We're going to dig into that even more next week, what it means to climb the mountain. What I want to do right now is just say, let's make a commitment. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us climb whatever mountain He's called us to climb. In Jesus' name, amen. Guess what? The first mountain you need to climb, the first mountain to climb, the first step on that journey is to recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior and accept the sacrifice that we read about here in the book of Hebrews. Accept that into your life and accept what Jesus has already done. In fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you're in this place this morning, if you're watching online, listening online, you say, man, I haven't ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know Jesus today. Guess what? You can do that right now. You can say, well, that sounds really complicated, and really, I don't know, I don't understand all that. You don't have to understand it all, but I'm going to make it so simple for you. Listen, following Jesus and beginning a relationship with Jesus, making the first step to climb that mountain, it is as simple as A, B, C. It's that simple. So that's too simple. It really is. A, what is it? A, first off, I've got to accept that I am a sinner and I need saving and I cannot save myself. Those are things I've got to accept. I've got to accept that I am a messed up, broken, sinful person and that I have no ability within myself to fix the sin that exists in myself. I've got to accept that. A. B, believe that Jesus is the answer to my problem. Believe that Jesus is the Savior for my sin. And I can believe that because Jesus said that that's exactly who He was. And not only did Jesus say that's who He was, but He then proved that that's who He was 2,000 years ago when He gave up His life on a cross and 3 days later rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave, saying to you and me, I am the Savior. I have conquered death, which is the result of sin. Therefore, I have conquered sin. Therefore, I am your answer. Accept that I can't do it, believe that Jesus can, and then confess what I believe in my heart to be true. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, basically saying Jesus is everything He said He was, so shall I be saved. So shall I be saved. And you can do that right now. Well, I've got all these issues. Yeah, join the club, bub. We all got issues. I've been saved for 20 years now, I guess, about more than that. Still got issues. Amen? Some of you have been saved for a lot longer. Anybody been saved for longer than 20 years and still got issues? Say amen. Hear that? Hopefully I got less issues than I did have. Got issues, man. That's why Jesus came. That's why He's the Savior, and we're not. Amen? Clear your head about it, your eye closed, man. If that's where you are today, if you're watching, you're listening online at home, just take this time and do this right now, and you can respond in the comments. You can say yes, or you can go to redlifechurch.com, and there's a big tab that says that you say yes to Jesus right in the middle of the homepage. You can click on that, man, and we want to connect with you. You can even do that right here. Follow these directions on the screen. Not this blue, and I don't know what's happening over here. So look over here on the left. Tell us what to do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, listen, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna call you down front. I am in just a moment gonna ask you to raise your hand. Because that is the public step that we're gonna take this morning. If you're saying, yes, man, I want to follow Jesus, I want to accept Jesus, I want to believe in Jesus, I want to become a follower of Jesus today. Maybe you've done this before. Maybe you've said yes to Jesus before, but for whatever reason, you abandon it, you let it go, you turned away. And you can right now in this moment also say, yes, I'm coming back. I'm recommitting. I'm reconfessing and making a fresh commitment to follow Jesus.
going to count to three. When I do, if that's for you today, I want you to raise your hand. When I count to three, if you're online, I want you to say yes in the comments. Say, yes, I'm praying that prayer. Or just put that raised hand emoji. On three. One, Jesus loves you. Two, today is your day. Three, raise your hand right now if that's for you. All over this morning. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's everyone in this room pray with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin, come and live on the inside of my heart, take over every part of my life. It all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, help me, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus from this moment on, every day of my life. Amen and amen. Amen means let it be. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. Let it be in your precious and holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving us. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that every single one of us, God, would hear your voice calling us to the top of the mountain. Lord, I pray right now that every one of us, that not only will we hear your voice, but God, we will respond and we will climb. God, I pray that you would open our eyes and recognize that some of the mountains we've been speaking to, you have been calling us to climb. And I pray, Father, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how tired we get, God, we are going to climb that mountain, and we are going to encounter you like never before on top of that mountain in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Let's get ready to climb what God has called us to climb in the name of Jesus.